berserk and stop being a sane, responsible, and ethical human being. Threatened with feeling jealous, we allow our brains to turn to static with the excuse that we are acting on instinct. Your authors don't think it matters if jealousy derives from nature or nurture or both. What matters is that we know from experience that we can change it. Here's a story from Dossie's life about the struggle to cope with jealousy. My lover is late coming home. I hope she is all right. This morning she left in tears. Last night we both cried until very late. I hope she will not be too angry with me, or then again, her anger might be easier to bear than her pain. Last night I thought my heart would break from feeling her pain. And it's my fault, my choice, my responsibility. I am asking my lover to go through the fire for reasons most of the rest of the world considers frivolous, if not downright reprehensible. I cannot, will not be monogamous. More than 3 decades ago, I left my daughter's violent father, fighting my way out the door, bruised and pregnant, promising anything, promising I would call my parents for money, lying. After I escaped Joe, he sent me suicide threats and threatened murder. One time he set fires around the house he thought we were still in. After I left, I decided he was right. I am a slut. I want to be a slut. I will never promise monogamy again. I will never be a piece of property again, no matter how valuable that property is considered. Joe made a feminist of me, a feminist slut. My lover is back. She brought me a flower. She still doesn't want a hug. She feels her house has been invaded by alien energy. I was very careful to clean up. All is very tidy. Dinner is ready. Appeasement and placation. I'll do anything not to feel so awful. Why did I insist on doing this? My co-author and I have been patiently waiting to resume this part of our relationship when my newfound and most beloved partner was ready. She has already conquered the terrors of group sex. Tomorrow we will have another couple over for dinner and my birthday spanking, which she herself arranged with no egging on from me. Within the last year, she has had more new sexual experiences than she'd had in the previous 48 years and has taken to it all like a duck to water, except her lover having a date with one other person. She hates feeling left out and resents that we are doing it in our home this time, not neutral territory. Maybe this was a mistake. Maybe I make a lot of mistakes. My friends and lovers have welcomed her into the family with open arms. Loose lovers often form kinship networks from their sexual connections, and customs, even a sort of culture, have begun to emerge. And so it is customary in my brand new culture for one's lovers to welcome a new lover, not as competition, but as an addition to the community. But this is not her culture. My lover is ready to talk now. She is pissed. She is seriously pissed. She resents me for every miserable, terrified thought she has had today. She is furious that I would subject her to the unprotected experience of her own feelings, and that's not what she said. That's my interpretation. And that's not what I said either. This was no time to get uppity about clean boundaries and the importance of owning your own feelings. I listened. This time I listened without interrupting, trying only to let her know that I love her, I feel her pain, I am here for her. She is furious with me, and I am not giving myself permission to defend myself, and I hurt. This story has no tidy ending. We talked for hours, or maybe I listened, and I heard how difficult it was for her, how she felt invaded, how she felt her home was not safe, how she feared that my other lover would not like her, how she felt attacked by her and me both, how very much she feared I was abandoning her. We came to know pat little answers that make good stories for books. We just poured out anguish and went to sleep exhausted and went on loving each other and working on this issue as best we could. It's been more than 10 years since Dossie wrote this story, and she is no longer with this lover. The relationship ended for many reasons, none of them particularly about jealousy. Some readers were upset by this story when we included it in the first edition of this book. It's not exactly cheerful, and it doesn't have a happy ending. But we are including it again anyway, because we think it's important that our readers know that even accomplished sluts struggle with pain, miscommunication, mismatched desires, anger, and yes, jealousy.
Exercise. How do you experience jealousy? Set aside some time for introspection. Remember some times when you felt jealous and write about how that felt. You may find your mind preoccupied with thoughts about what those other people were doing. It may take a little patience to go back to your own feelings. Rage, grief, despair, desperation, anxiety, feelings of being lost, ugly, lonely, worthless, or whatever other feelings are particular to how you experience jealousy. We're often tempted to accuse ourselves about horrid feelings, as if we needed some sort of proper justification for feeling lousy. Try having some compassion for yourself when you feel so bad. Or do a free write about jealousy. Set a timer for 5 or 10 minutes and just write down whatever comes into your mind. When you're through writing, be kind to yourself. You might want to do this more than once, maybe over time, and keep it like a journal, to be read by you only, or maybe by a trusted friend or therapist. Or write a letter to your jealousy. Ask it what it's trying to accomplish. Ask it for advice. Then have your jealousy write a letter to you.
What is jealousy? We cannot ask this question too often. What is jealousy to you? Does jealousy really exist, and is it what we think it is? When we choose to confront the feeling of jealousy rather than run away from it, we can see more clearly what jealousy truly is for each of us. Jealousy is not an emotion. It can show up as grief or rage, hatred or self-loathing. Jealousy is an umbrella word that covers the wide range of emotions we might feel when our partners make sexual connection with somebody else. Jealousy may be an expression of insecurity, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, feeling left out, feeling not good enough, feeling inadequate, feeling awful. Your jealousy may be based in territoriality, or in competitiveness, or in some other emotion that's clamoring to be heard under the jealous racket in your brain. Sometimes it may show up as blind, screaming rage, and being blind can make it very difficult to see. Dasi, when she first started thinking about and challenging her jealousy, felt an almost intolerable sense of insecurity, along the lines of, nobody will ever love me because something is wrong with me and I'm unlovable. She discovered this about herself in the early years of feminism, so it fit perfectly with her feminist explorations to go to work on her self-esteem and build a foundation of security that didn't need to be granted by another person and that no one else could take away. You can probably figure out how valuable a lesson this was and how many more uses she has found for feeling secure within herself. Thank you, jealousy. Without this lesson, she wouldn't be confident enough to be writing this book. If you experience your jealousy as insensate rage, then you might want to read something about anger, how other people are thinking about it, working with it, dealing successfully with it. Perhaps you can take a course in anger management. Maybe you can come to terms with your anger. Maybe you can get to a place where you and your lovers need never fear your anger again. Wouldn't that be worth working on? Many people find forms of jealousy in themselves that are actually pretty easy to deal with, nagging doubts, bits of nervousness about performance or body image. Others find themselves falling into a whirlpool of terror or grief, difficult even to look at, much less to tease apart into separate feelings like fear of abandonment or loss or rejection. Why do we sometimes feel this way? Dasi the therapist has a theory about this, based not only on her own experience, but also that of many clients she has worked with on these issues. Jealousy is often the mask worn by the most difficult inner conflict that you have going on right now, a conflict that's crying out to be resolved and you don't even know it. Because it's rooted so deeply, it can be incredibly difficult to stay aware when jealousy peeks over the horizon. We twist and turn and writhe in our attempts to not feel it. This is when your emotions are most likely to bring you to grief, when you believe that you need to avoid feeling them at any cost. One way to not feel a feeling is to project it onto your partner. Projection is a psychological defense that involves trying to move a painful feeling outside of yourself by running your emotional movie on someone else, as if that person were a screen for your fears and fantasies and not a human being. It may be that this is the only real definition of jealousy. It's the experience of projecting one's uncomfortable feelings onto one's partners. But here's some good news. If you recognize yourself in any of this, then some part of you has decided that you are strong enough to acknowledge the underlying emotion, and that means you are in an excellent position to do some healing right now. Use your jealousy as a signpost. Work on this feeling here. Take a class, join a group, find a good therapist, start practicing meditation, go to work on yourself. You have a golden opportunity, so make the most of it. You could get a whole lot of bang for your buck if you do the work that's presenting itself now. Heal old wounds, open up new possibilities, gain health and freedom from fear. And somewhere in there, almost as a bonus, you get to grasp your sexual freedom as well. Sometimes what we perceive as jealousy is actually something else. Think through the details of how jealousy works in you. What bothers you the most? Is it that you don't want your partner to do those things with someone else, or that you do want your partner to do them with you? Jealousy might actually be envy. And envy is often very easy to fix. Why not make a date with your lover to do what you have just discovered you are missing? Sometimes jealousy is rooted in feelings of grief and loss, which can be harder to interpret. We have been taught by our culture that when our partner has sex with another, we have lost something. Not to sound dumb, but we are confused. What have we lost? When our partners come home from hot dates, often they are excited and turned on and have some new ideas they would like to try out at home. We fail to see what we lose in this situation. Or the sense of loss you feel might be the loss of an ideal, a picture you have been holding in your head of what a perfect monogamous relationship might look like. It may be helpful to remember that all relationships change through time. People's needs and desires shift according to age and circumstance. And the most successful long-term relationships are the ones with enough flexibility to redefine themselves over and over again through the years. Occasionally, our discomfort means that we are becoming aware on an intuitive level that our partner is moving away from us. And it might be true that we are losing the relationship we cherish. That does happen. The fact that supposedly monogamous people everywhere often leave one partner for what they perceive as greener grass with another is not much consolation when it happens to you. We watched a friend of ours go through feelings of deep grief and loss when she perceived that her partner's lover was trying, nearly successfully, to abscond with her partner. In this case, her pain threw a spotlight on some dishonesty and manipulation on the part of the third party and gave her partner the strength to break off from the outside lover and to find other lovers who had greater respect for his primary bond. On the other hand, this scenario might just as easily have ended in a breakup. We'll talk more about breakups and dealing with them ethically with care for your own and your partner's feelings in Chapter 20, The Ebb and Flow of Relationships. Jealousy might also be associated with feelings of competitiveness and wanting to be number one. There's a reason there is no Olympics of sex. Sexual achievement is not measurable. We cannot rank each and every one of us on some hierarchical ladder of who is or is not the most desirable or the better fuck. What a horrid idea. Your authors want to live in a world where each person's sexuality is valued for its own sake, not for how it measures up to any standard beyond our own pleasure. If you find out about something that you would like to add to your own repertoire, you can certainly learn to do it without wasting time trashing yourself for not already having known how. Fear of being sexually inadequate can add up to a very deep and secret wound, but allow us to reassure you that eventually, when you succeed in establishing the lifestyle you are dreaming about, you will be so familiar with so many different individuals' ways of expressing sexuality that you will no longer have to wonder how your sexuality compares to another's. You'll know from direct experience. Great lovers are made, not born. You can learn from your lovers and your lovers' lovers and your lovers' lovers' lovers to be the sexual superstar you would like to be. Unlearning jealousy. To change the way you experience a feeling takes time. So expect a gradual process, learning as you go, by trial and error. And there will be trials, and you will make errors. Start by giving yourself permission to learn. Allow yourself to not know what you don't know, to be ignorant. Buddhists call this beginner's mind. You must allow yourself to make mistakes. You have no choice. So reassure yourself. There is no graceful way to unlearn jealousy. It's kind of like learning to skate. You have to fall down and make a fool of yourself a few times before you become as graceful as a swan. The challenge comes in learning to establish within yourself a strong foundation of internal security that is not dependent on sexual exclusivity or ownership of your partner. This difficult work is part of the larger question of how to grasp your personal power and learn to understand and love yourself without such a desperate need for another person to validate you. You become free to give and receive validation, not from need or obligation, but from love and caring. We suggest most strongly that you put some effort into learning to validate yourself. Believe us, you're worth it. Many people find that as they develop their polyamorous families, they actually get validation from lots and lots of people, and thus become less dependent on their partner's approval. Their needs and their sources of nourishment get spread out over a wider territory. Disempowering your jealousy. We can't tell you how to banish jealousy or how to exorcise it as if it were a demon. It may be your inner demon, but it is not a cancer that you can cut out. It is a part of you, a way that you express fear and hurt. What you can do is change the way you experience jealousy and learn to deal with it as you learn to deal with any emotion. Work with it until it becomes not overwhelming and not exactly pleasant, but tolerable. A mild disturbance, a warm summer shower rather than a typhoon. One woman we talked to had some very good ideas about what you can do about jealousy. I notice that jealousy comes and goes depending on how good I feel about myself. When I'm not taking care of getting what I want, it's easy to get jealous and think that someone else is getting what I am not. I need to remember that it's my job to get my needs met. I feel the jealousy, but I'm not willing to act on it, so it mostly goes away. Once you have made a commitment to refuse to act on your jealousy, you become free to start reducing the amount of power you let your jealousy have over you. One way to do this is simply by allowing yourself to feel it. Just feel it. It will hurt, and you will feel frightened and confused, but if you sit still and listen to yourself with compassion and support for the scared child inside, the first thing you will learn is that the experience of jealousy is survivable. You have the strength to get through it. A large part of our difficulties with jealousy comes from our attempts to avoid feeling a scary or painful emotion. Perhaps long ago when we were children, truly powerless in the world and with a very limited set of tools for dealing with our emotions, we felt something scary and told ourselves, "I will never feel this again. It's too awful. I'll die. I'll kill myself." So we stick the feeling and the event that inspired it into something like a pot and put the lid on good and tight. As the years go by, whenever something comes along that reminds us of what's in the pot, that rattles the lid a little, and we push down on that lid. "Gotta keep the lid on that pot," we tell ourselves. We may not even remember why. And the pressure builds and builds, not so much from what's in the pot as from our frantic struggles to keep the lid on. When we grow up and we need to take the lid off so that we can deal with our emotional reality as an adult, it can feel really scary. But surprisingly, often when we actually look at what's in our pot and feel it, it's much more manageable than we had feared. You can indeed open your pots, look at what's bubbling away in there, and then put the lid back on. Your old defenses will continue to work just fine when you want them to. We have heard sluts accuse each other of being jealous as if it were a crime. See? Look at you. You're jealous, aren't you? Don't try to deny it. It is particularly important that you own your jealousy to yourself and to your intimates. If you try to pretend that you are not jealous when you are, others will perceive you as dishonest, or, worse yet, they may believe you and see no need to support or protect you because you're fine, right? If you pretend to yourself that you are not jealous when you are, then your own emotions may try devious routes to bring themselves to your attention, manifesting themselves as intensely irrational anger, unreasonable behavior, crushing anxiety over anything at all, temper tantrums, crying fits, or even physical illness. When you deny your jealousy to yourself, you take from yourself the opportunity to be compassionate with yourself, to offer yourself support and comfort. When you deny jealousy or any other difficult emotion, you put yourself in a harsh and difficult landscape, full of pitfalls and landmines. Acting out means doing things you don't understand, driven by emotions you have refused to be aware of. Denying your jealousy can lead you to act out harsh feelings in ways that you will regret later. Sometimes acting out takes the form of making ultimatums about what your partner may and may not do, or, worse, trying to enforce retroactive agreements by getting all righteously indignant about how anybody could have figured out that it wasn't okay to take Bob to the movie you wanted to see, and aren't both of them inconsiderate and rotten. You cannot deal constructively with jealousy by making the other guys wrong. Foisting your feelings off on your partners is a dead-end strategy. It just plain won't work. Jealousy is an emotion that arises inside you. No person and no behavior can make you jealous. Like it or not, the only person who can make that jealousy hurt less or go away is you. Listening to someone who is feeling jealous can be difficult, particularly when the jealousy is focused on you. Sometimes when a lover is jealous and in pain, he may find it easier to feel angry and push that person away, rather than staying close, staying in empathy, listening, caring. When you blame this person for being jealous, what you're really saying is that you can't stand to listen to how much your beloved hurts when you're on the way out the door to play with someone else. This seeming indifference is a crummy way to avoid dealing with your own feelings of guilt. There are easier solutions. Feelings like to be listened to. Other people's feelings and your own. Once you understand that you are doing something constructive when you just listen, or ask someone else to just listen to you, you can get those troublesome feelings out in the open and learn to satisfy them. The idea is to be nice to your feelings, to welcome them as guests, until they feel finished and move on through. If this sounds familiar to you, if you have experienced times like this in your life, we recommend that you practice the skill of staying quietly with both your own and your lover's pain. Remember, you don't have to fix anything. All you have to do is listen to yourself or another and understand that this hurts, period. Janet and a life partner had a difficult moment when she first told him that she was in love with one of her lovers. Janet says,
I'd been seeing this woman for a while and realized, much to my surprise, that my feelings toward her had gone beyond simple sexual friendship and into a deep romantic emotion that I identified as being in love. When I told my life partner about this, I think his first impulse was to feel threatened, insecure, and, yes, jealous. I could feel him getting close to exploding. It was hard for me not to try to fix things, to take back what I'd said about being in love, or to simply leave the discussion altogether, because I felt scared and guilty. But he stayed on course, allowing the feelings to present themselves, but not allowing them to drive him into acting angry or defensive. He asked me some questions about what exactly this meant to us, and I was able to explain that I wasn't planning to leave him, that my love for her was in no way a threat to my love for him, that she and I weren't expecting to become primary partners, that really nothing had changed except my own emotions and the words I was using to describe them. We went on to revisit this discussion from time to time, especially when our busy schedules permitted me to spend some extra time with my lover. She and I drifted apart fairly easily later on as we moved on to other things in our lives. And for that matter, so did he and I, less easily. But all three of us who were involved in that particular triangle can look back with pride at the way we gave each other the space and respect we needed to process a change that at first felt terribly threatening to us all.
You can feel jealousy without acting on it. In fact, flying into a rage and breaking all the crockery, or calling your lover's lover and hanging up every 15 minutes during your first sleepless night, or picking a fight with whoever's handy actually won't help you feel better. All these are things that people do in order to not feel jealous, in order to not feel scared and small. Anger can help us feel powerful when we use it to push vulnerable feelings away, but it won't actually make us stronger or safer. When you hold still with your jealousy, you will find that it is possible to feel something difficult without doing anything you don't choose to do. You will have taken your second step at disempowering your jealousy. You've told your jealousy that you will not allow it to drive you to do anything that might destroy your loving relationships. Khalil Gibran wrote something truly profound about the nature of pain. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Whitewater rafting. So here you are, shell cracked with waves of pain washing over you. What can you do? Get as comfortable as you can and see how you can learn to ride those waves instead of drowning under them. Gather up the courage to feel what you're feeling. Explore your feelings. Nourish them. Treasure them. They are the most essential part of you. Be good to yourself and remember that the most important part of love is not loving someone's beauty and strength and virtue. The real test of love is when someone sees our weaknesses, our stupidities, and our smallnesses and still loves us. This unconditional love is what we want from our lovers, and we should expect no less from ourselves. Experiencing painful feelings is not a moral issue. It is in no way wrong to feel what you feel and to want what you want. Only actions can be crimes. Let us repeat that one. Emotions are never wrong. Only actions can be wrong. Emotions are an expression of our emotional truth, and truth cannot be wrong. Nor do they need to be justified. They just need to be felt. Remember, as you look at yourself, to look kindly. And also remember that you are not balancing a checkbook. Anything you see that you don't like or that you want to change is not a debit that you subtract from your virtues. When you learn to reflect on your strengths, it becomes easier to look at your weaknesses with acceptance and compassion. Keep your virtues at their full value and cherish them. Start by setting yourself the task of getting through a short period of time with your jealousy, like an evening or an afternoon when your partner may be off with another. Make a pact with yourself that you will stay with your feelings, whatever they may be, for this brief time. If a whole evening or night seems like too long, start with 5 or 10 minutes, then arrange to distract yourself with a video or whatever. It might be easier than you thought. One of the possible and indeed common outcomes will be that your partner will go off on a date with another and you will feel just fine. Surprise! Your anticipation may have been a lot worse than the actual event. Experienced sluts often find that they feel jealous only now and then. When they do experience jealousy, they examine these specific experiences to see what they can learn about themselves and then brainstorm strategies to make this particular sort of event safer and easier. One couple we talked to is working to maintain their primary relationship in a difficult situation. One of them is out of town most of the time on business, and thus much of their activity with other partners takes place under circumstances that prevent them from reconnecting physically afterwards. One of their agreements is that they talk on the phone every single night, regardless of where they are or how busy they are. Often their conversations take place after one of them has spent time connecting with an outside partner. One of them notes that during these conversations,
he allows my feelings. I don't hesitate to say anything I want. In fact, he encourages me to. I've found that just being allowed to say these things, to talk about my jealousy and sadness, somehow diffuses them. They lose a lot of their power because they meet no resistance from him. He just listens to them and lets them be.
Feel your feelings. Painful feelings, even the most intense of them, have a tendency to run their course if you let them. So an initial strategy is to make yourself as comfortable as possible and wait. Find your jealous feelings, hurt or anger or whatever, and let them flow through you like a river. Your mind may be racing with nasty thoughts, angry, blaming, focusing on some detail that you are absolutely certain those other people did wrong, obsessing on believing that someone is taking advantage of you, or riding roughshod over your naked emotions. You hurt a lot, so surely it must be somebody's fault. But sometimes there is great pain, and there is no villain. Allow us to reassure you, we all go through this. Don't die of shame. Just let these thoughts run through you, too. Feelings, once uncovered, can be better understood by reflecting on them. It is useful to have scripts and strategies for self-exploration. Journal writing, preferably with total disregard for grammar and syntax, can be a good way to vent feelings and learn about yourself at the same time. It is okay to cover pages of your journal with "fuck, fuck, 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 I hate this" in bright red ink. If this feels good to you, we recommend you get an extra large journal. Try writing down your stream of consciousness, which means whatever you find in your head, whether or not it makes sense, and see what you get. Treasures, jewels of self-knowledge are often found here. You can get a big drawing pad and a set of oil pastels, which are crayons for grown-ups. These big crayons encourage expression with bright colors and discourage getting hung up on details they're too fat to get crabby with. Sometimes you will draw and get squiggles, and that's great. The smallest thing you can accomplish still helps you hold still for a while and rant in color. Other times, you may surprise yourself with a drawing that is profoundly meaningful to you. Both of us use drawing a lot to vent our strong feelings and discover things about ourselves. Dossie quit smoking this way, and Janet used it as an important tool to get out of suburbia and recover her sluthood. And we assure you that neither of us is a great artist. Some people like to express their feelings with their bodies and might like to run or work out at the gym or clean the kitchen or dig in the garden. Safety note. If your feelings like intense physical expression, you will need to keep a piece of your mind alert to the fact that you're heavily adrenalized and feel stronger than you actually are. So give a little attention to what you can do without injury. Dossie once hiked up a big hill in a stressed-out state and felt powerful and wonderful. She remembers thinking how she must be in much better shape than she thought she was. The next day was an agony of the physical kind with strained muscles and swollen joints. Try finding music that fits your mood, angry or sad or frantic, and dancing your feelings out. It can be very satisfying to get a cheap plastic tennis racket and beat up your couch. Kneel in front of the couch, raise the racket above your head, and bring it down with all your strength. Keep your eyes open. Imagine anything on the couch that you are angry at except yourself, and yell loudly how you feel. When you express yourself, you get to know yourself better and work out some of the most intense stress constructively. The least you could wind up with would be a clean kitchen, and you might actually feel good after a self-indulgent afternoon on the beach. Poor baby. Try focusing on the feelings in your body. Where do you feel these emotions? In your throat, chest, gut? Turning your attention to the physical sensations can intensify them and might bring up tears, but they will move on through even more readily if you allow yourself to feel them on the physical level. If rage comes welling up, you can pound on a pillow. If you start to cry, let it flow, remembering the sense of relief that comes after expressing intense emotion in tears. Janet likes to seek out a tearjerker book or movie to help her get tears out when she feels stuck. Terms of Endearment has never failed her yet. Some people have trouble doing this because they've been taught that it's wrong to feel sorry for yourself. So who else should you feel sorry for? Stay in sympathy with yourself. You feel bad. So be kind to yourself. You can talk to a friend or your other lover, presuming you have made agreements about confidentiality with everybody who might care if you gossip. Janet has a deal with a good friend of hers for telephone support. She can call her friend up and ask for 5 minutes of poor baby. And if her friend is available, she pours out her feelings and her friend says, you guessed it, nothing but poor baby, till she is through. This dialogue may sound silly, but don't knock it till you try it. Comfort is a good thing in hard times.
Exercise, reassurance. Here's an exercise you can do with your partner to learn how to poor baby each other, even when times are hard. Make a list of 10 things your partner could do that would reassure you. Avoid abstractions. Focus on behaviors, not emotions. Love me more is an emotion, and thus pretty hard to act on. How will you know that your partner loves more? Bring me a rose is a behavior that anybody with a dollar can perform. Write your list in private, your partner can do the same, and then you can get together and look at each other's lists. You'll be surprised at how easy it is to be reassuring when you have a list. This assignment may be more complicated than it sounds. Many questions may come up in your mind. How could I ask for that? Shouldn't my partner already know? If I have to ask for it, does it really count? If my partner loved me, wouldn't this be happening already? If you're having thoughts like these, imagine what it might feel like to be asked for reassurance by your partner. Wouldn't it feel good to know how you could help? We can't read each other's minds, but we do care, and we can help once we know how.
Who's to blame? As you get skilled at finding and expressing your feelings, you can try a more challenging task. See if you can write about or talk to your friend about your feelings without blaming anybody. Not your lover, not your lover's lover, and especially not yourself. This exercise is not easy. You will be surprised how readily we all slip into that blaming mode. But it is very, very worthwhile to learn to have your feelings without foisting them on somebody else. It also helps to pay attention to how we attribute intention. You're just doing this because you want to make me mad. How often do you suppose that's actually true? We just about never make anybody mad on purpose. The results are usually unpleasant. It's easy to invent other people's intentions for them in order to try to make sense of what you're feeling. But it can be very hard for them to speak their truth if someone's accusing them of intentions they never had. Only when we're all willing to own our emotions and let our lovers and friends own theirs does anyone have the power to change and grow. Baby yourself. When your emotions are overwhelming and chaotic, it can help to ask yourself if there is anything you could do that would help you feel just one tiny bit safer. Let go of the big picture. Maybe it's too big to figure the whole thing out right now. A few deep breaths, conscious relaxation of some muscles, soothing music. Try wrapping yourself in a soft blanket. It may not seem like much, but once you manage to do anything that improves your lot, even the littlest bit, you are moving in the right direction to build some confidence that you can learn to deal with your jealous feelings. Give yourself permission to take good care of yourself while you learn to work through jealousy and other hard feelings. Learn to nurture yourself. What are the things you find comforting? Give them to yourself. Hot chocolate? Warm towels after a long soak? A long session with your most beloved movie or computer game? Your favorite teddy bear? Effective self-nurturing often happens on the level of body awareness. So nice physical experiences, massages, hot baths, skin lotion, flannel pajamas, can give a sense of comfort and security even when your mind is anxious and your thoughts are a mess. Give yourself permission to take the best possible care of yourself. You deserve it. When you anticipate feeling jealous, make plans to occupy your time. It may be too much to ask that you always have a hot date at exactly the same time as your lover. Most people's schedules are too complicated. So what do you do when your partner's date comes down with the flu? Do you cancel your date? The people you make these dates with might be counting on you. The time they have with you might be important to them, and their feelings might get hurt. Third parties have a right to some predictability in their lives, too. But even if you can't round up a hot date for yourself, you can probably find a friend to watch a movie with, talk obsessively, with due attention to confidentiality, of course, on the internet, grind your teeth, eat cookies, chew your fingernails, whatever works. We do not recommend drinking and drugging, as getting high might very well increase the intensity of your disturbance and disinhibit you enough that you might forget your commitment to experience your jealousy without acting on it. A certain amount of escapism is fine, but if you anesthetize yourself so that you feel nothing at all, you will lose the opportunity to develop skills at dealing with all the feelings you're having. Acquiring these skills takes practice, like meditation or learning to skate. At first you feel stupid and wonder why you're doing it, and it doesn't work very well. But if you practice taking good care of yourself, after a while, your view of the world changes a little, and it becomes a much more friendly and welcoming place, because you've created it that way.
Exercise. 15 ways to be kind to yourself. Write a list of 15 easy things you can do to be kind to yourself. For instance, go to the store and buy myself a flower. Or soak my feet in hot water and give them a rub. Sometimes it helps to ask yourself, what could I do to feel a little bit safer or better or taken care of? Put the items on your list on index cards. The next time you feel upset and could use a kindness, pull a card and do what it says.
When you are the third party. All these ideas about taking good care of yourself apply whether you are single or partnered. But those of us who live alone have to make special preparations to avoid becoming isolated with our feelings. We've written about this at much more length in Chapter 19, The Single Slut. You need to reach out to close friends or perhaps get to a support group or a munch in your area. Make agreements with friends to listen to each other's feelings. And don't forget to plan time for serious communication with your non-residential partner. Being single or other than the life partner does not mean you will never feel jealousy or any other difficult feelings. When we are dating, however intensely, we rarely make time for serious discussions of our feelings, our differences, or, for that matter, how we each understand and appreciate the relationship we are having. To make time, a lot of poly people place a special value on actually sleeping together. And the sharing of coffee, the slow awakening, and even ordinary old breakfast. If each time you connect with your sweetie is intended to be hot and heavy sex, it can be hard to make space for simple conversation, talking about feelings, hearing feelings. If you don't sleep together, try getting together for lunch or brunch at some other time, or make a date to hike in the country or on a beach, or visit a botanical garden or a museum. Tough it out. When no better plan is available, there is nothing wrong with gritting your teeth, biting the bullet, and hanging in there till it's over. Dossie remembers her first challenge after she decided to never be monogamous again. She says, I had been casually dating a young man and had told him at great length that I was not available for partnering and had no intention of ever being monogamous again. He came over to visit at my home when my best friend was there. We all got a little stoned, and he came on to her. She thought he was neat and didn't know I was involved with him, so they started necking right in the middle of my living room. Eek! My thoughts went racing as I watched them, thinking, well, it's not like I want to marry him, and I don't think I feel like joining them, and I don't think my friend is bisexual anyway, so what do I do? Miss Manners has said nothing on the appropriate etiquette for this situation. For a while I sat frozen, to tell the truth, and finally I thought to myself, okay, so there's no script. I'll have to make one up. What would I be doing if my friend and my new lover weren't rolling around on the floor with their braces locked? I guess I'd be finishing taking the notes from the tarot book I was reading, so I went upstairs and studied, gritting my teeth. Focusing on my notes gave me at least a little relief by occupying my mind. Eventually they left, and I got through a strange and lonely night, not necessarily feeling great, but at least proud of myself that I had survived. I felt not at all damaged, really okay. What I got a grip on was my own strength. So, funky as it was, this was my first successful run through jealousy. Go for the ick. Here's a good question to ask yourself as you seek to understand your jealousy. What are the specific images that disturb me the most? Chances are you are already imagining along these lines, so you're not likely to make yourself feel worse by thinking about the scary stuff on purpose. Those disturbing images, the ones that really bother you, are not telling you what your partner is doing. You actually don't know what your partner is doing. The image you see in your mind are the perfect reflection of your own fears. One way to come to terms with your fears is to acknowledge them. Yes, I'm afraid of that. You can take it even further and work through the fears by envisioning the worst possible scenario that you can imagine. Go ahead, wallow in it. Elaborate it till it becomes ridiculous. Maybe that other guy has a dick 3 miles long. That girl is a perfect replica of a living Barbie doll. Maybe you can laugh at your fears. That'll take the sting out of them. Silly is the opposite of powerful, so disempower away. Reality is almost always less terrifying than fiction. You can counter your fears with reality testing. Our minds, like nature, abhor a vacuum. We get nervous. Think of the last time you were waiting for someone to return a call or a family member was significantly late coming home. Did you call the highway patrol, send out frantic texts, imagine terrible possibilities? We all do this. Janet and her partner have an agreement to call each other before they leave a lover's house for the trip home, just to prevent this kind of worry. When we don't know what's going on, few of us are able to just say, "I don't know," and stop thinking about it. We fill in the blanks, and in order to do that, we make something up. What you see when you fill in the blanks has nothing to do with reality. It is a picture of your own worst fear. So now you know what you are afraid of and nothing about what is really happening. Pay attention also to your imaginings that are less dangerous, less anxiety-ridden. This is where you feel safer. You may be surprised to find that imagining your lover in the midst of sex with someone else is less scary than you thought it would be. Or maybe images of kissing bother you more than intercourse, or whatever. Try writing down your imaginings on index cards, then putting them in order from the most to the least scary. Then you will know what parts scare you the most and what the safer feeling parts are. Now you have something to turn your mind toward that will help you feel a little bit safer, which is your first step on the road to becoming perfectly comfortable. Remember the good stuff that you care about. Make a list of everything you value about your relationship and put it aside for a rainy day. Be an optimist. Turn your mind to the positive end of things. Value what you have and what you get from your partner, the time, attention, and love, the good stuff that fills your cup. Avoid being the pessimist who focuses on what is not there, the energy that goes somewhere else. That energy is not subtracted from what you receive. Relationships are not balanced like checkbooks. So when you are feeling deprived, remember all the good stuff you get from your partnership.
Exercise. Treasures. Make a list of 10 or more reasons why you are lucky to have this partner. Make a list of 10 or more reasons why your partner is lucky to have you. Try carrying your lists around with you for a few days and adding things as they come up. Maybe you and this partner could both make lists and share them.
Sharing. You and your partners need to practice talking about jealousy. When you try to pretend that you're so perfectly enlightened that you never feel jealous, you deprive yourself of the opportunity to work with your feelings and share support with your partner. And when you try to protect yourself and your partner from jealousy, you are engaging in a deception that can only lead to more distance and can never bring you closer. A couple we know tells us that they have developed a convention in their relationship that each can ask the other for what they call a jelly moment. In your jelly moment, you get to say what's bothering you. Perhaps you feel scared and jealous, nervous about saying goodbye for the weekend, small and silly, and your knees are feeling like, well, jelly. Your partner's commitment is to listen, sympathize, and validate. That's the response, not, okay, I'll cancel my date with Blanche, but, aw, honey, I'm sorry you feel bad. I love you, and I'll be back soon. When we tell our partners that we feel jealous, we are making ourselves vulnerable in a very profound way. When our partners respond with respect, listen to us, validate our feelings, support and reassure us, we feel better taken care of than we would have if no difficulty had arisen in the first place. So we strongly recommend that you and your partners give each other the profoundly bonding experience of sharing your vulnerabilities. We are all human, we are all vulnerable, and we all need validation. Your strategies for surviving periods of jealousy will stand you in good stead for the rest of your life, and you will use what you learn about yourself from this practice over and over. All of the techniques listed above are applicable to other difficult events, like job interviews and writing your resume. Now you not only have a repertoire of ways to deal with bouts of jealousy, but also to handle other painful emotions that might come your way. So when you get this far, congratulate yourself. Celebrate your successes. Write, I am a genius, 2 dozen times with lots of bright colors. Buy yourself something nifty. You've done a lot of hard work and you deserve a reward. A spiritual path? So when you grow beyond your jealousy by doing the healing that your jealousy is calling on you to do, you're also stepping out of old paradigms and familiar assumptions into the unknown, which is scary. Working to change your emotions requires that you open up, be willing to feel, flinching when necessary, to become more conscious. Isn't that what spirituality is, an opened and expanded consciousness? Jealousy can become your path, not only to healing old wounds, but also to open-heartedness, opening your heart to your lovers and to yourself. As you open your relationships to fit in all the love and sex and fulfillment that truly are available to you. A final note about love. One remedy for the fear of not being loved is to remember how good it feels to love someone. If you're feeling unloved and you want to feel better, go love someone and see what happens. Interlude. Lean. Love. Can you imagine love without jealousy, without possessiveness? Love cleaned of all its clinginess and desperation? Let's try. We can take some thoughts from Buddhism. What would it be like to love without attachment? Or to open our hearts to someone with no expectation beyond another heart opening in return, loving just for the joy of it, regardless of what we might get back. Imagine seeing the beauty and virtues of a beloved and letting go of how their strengths might meet our needs or how their beauty might make us look better. Imagine seeing another in a clean light of love, without enumerating the ways in which that person does and does not match up to the fantasy we carry around of our perfect mate or dream lover. Imagine meeting another person in the freedom and innocence of childhood and playing together, without plotting how to make this person give us the kind of love we wish we could have gotten in our actual childhood. But, what if you open your heart to someone and you don't like what happens next? Suppose that person gets drunk, or treats your open affection with scorn? What if this person doesn't fulfill your dreams? What if this one turns out just like the last one? Suppose all those things do happen. What have you lost? A little time? A brief fantasy? Let it go, learn from it, and go find someone more worthy of your love. Love doesn't much take to being stuffed into forms, which is what everybody's fantasies and imaginings are. Custom-built plans for a constructed individual they've created to solve all their problems. Your authors have dream lovers, too. But people are not made of clay or stone, and it won't work well to approach them with a chisel. Look what happened to Pygmalion. How many times have you rejected the possibility of love because it didn't look the way you expected it to? Perhaps some characteristic was missing you were sure you must have. Some other trait was present that you never dreamed of accepting. What happens when you throw away your expectations and open your eyes to the fabulous love that is shining right in front of you, holding out its hand? Clean love. Love without expectations. Washing your love clean doesn't require advanced spirituality or weekly psychoanalysis. You'll probably never let go of every single attachment. At least we've never managed it. But maybe you can let go for just an instant. Your history, worries, frets, and yearnings will still be there to come back to when you need them. Just for now, take a look at the nifty person who is standing right in front of you. Chapter 14, Embracing Conflict. Nothing builds intimacy like shared vulnerability. Write this on your bathroom mirror. We'll never discount all the wonderful things that we get from sharing love, laughter, and happiness and sex. But nothing deepens intimacy like the experiences that we share when we feel flayed, with our skins off, scared and vulnerable, and our partner is there with us, willing to share in the scary stuff. These are the times that bring us closest together. What's in it for you? Some people find it surprising to learn that a slut can experience overwhelming insecurities, but the truth is that sluts are just as nervous as anyone else, and skills to allay our anxieties were not taught us in our cradles. Your own freedom might turn out to be a lot easier to accept than your partner's. It certainly does not follow that just because we can date others with equanimity that we will be equally calm when our partner takes off for an exciting evening with someone else. Going out and staying home are separate functions, like eating and cooking, each with its own rewards, and each requires specific skills to accomplish. When problems arise, a good question to ask yourself is, what am I hoping to get out of this situation? Why are you doing all this hard work to become a slut? The answer depends on your own individual situation, but for many of us, the payoff is our own freedom, and we have to learn to give freedom to our partners if we're going to get it for ourselves. Giving and getting freedom means we also need to have some good ways to deal with the inevitable conflicts that will arise when strong emotions are at stake. There are lots of good ways. Start by checking in with yourself on what you already know about conflict. You already have very strong ideas about this. You learned them, literally, at your parents' knees, if not cringing in the corner.
Exercise. Conflict. A free write. Try writing for 10 minutes without pausing. Just write down whatever comes into your mind about these questions. How was conflict dealt with in the family you grew up in? What did people do, and what beliefs were they operating on? Did someone use alcohol to deal with tension? Who in your family was likely to initiate conflict? Who avoided it to a fault? Whose job was it to placate the angry people? Whose job to sweep disagreements under the carpet? Who had the job of opening up conflict? What was your job? How would you describe your style of managing conflict?
Studying the scripts you had to live by in your childhood will explain a lot about how you react to anger and conflict today. Accept yourself. As a child, you had no choices. You had to fit in somehow to your family's script. How did you keep yourself safe? Was this never an issue? People who grew up in healthy families are often both easygoing and unafraid. We're not sure we've ever met anyone that healthy, but it sounds great in principle. The downside of growing up in an unusually healthy family is that it can be hard to understand why everybody else gets so scared. Most people, though, learn to hide for their own safety or to fight back to protect themselves or to become small and pathetic so that people would take pity on them.